Hello and welcome to one half of the Rangers Rundown, which is one half of the best podcast available to you, talking about specifically these topics, featuring specifically these people. We're the best that we can be, sort of, most of the time. I am Max, and I'm joined at this particular segment by Mike.
Hey, guys.
And Hayden will be with us later, or possibly earlier, depending on how he edits this. So if I've already introduced myself, are you that mad? It's June.
Dog days of summer. They're
it's
here.
Hot. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. It's hot, unlike Texas. The Rangers are not hot. It's with six straight losses. Is that right?
I think so.
Woo. Team tank.
They're hitting their stride.
Yeah. We are really hitting. We're doing well. I mean, I think we're in line for the sixth pick. We've moved up one. Is that right?
Very nice. I like that.
No, we're a half game out from the fifth pick.
Okay. From the fifth pick.
Wow. We are Miami Marlins fans. and Reds. We're also Cincinnati Reds fans. Go Miami / Cincinnati.
Well, I already was. So.
Yeah, I've been a big Marlins fan my whole life, really.
Yeah. Their story passed. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. Okay.
They won that title. They got Pudge's ring, right?
Isn't
that
yeah,
Florida?
Yeah, they got two World Series victories to the Rangers zero. It's awesome.
God.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, we're fans of the best team in Major League Baseball historically and presently.
Of course.
I'm just looking at our 2018 baseball reference page and watching Bartolo's tumble from first or second in the WAR list to sandwich between Elvis Andrus, a dude who hasn't played since it feels like February, and Jurickson Profar. Oof. Bartolo, we hardly knew ye.
I love watching him swing out of his helmet.
It was really funny.
It cracks me up every time.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I enjoyed it more than I probably should have as a fan of the team for which he was batting. It was a lot funnier than it probably should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not been as effective for us recently, which is distressing, but also, I mean, it's a tanky season. He's been useful enough when he's been useful. Still got his ERA plus in a relatively reasonable area. He's still pitching fairly close to a league average guy. Really has to stop letting up all these home runs. That's 19 on the season.
Yeah.
Which is only one more than staff ace Cole Hamels, which again, Yankees fans, if you're listening to this, I didn't say that at all. Shh. He's great. Does not give up home runs.
There are no holes in his game.
None. He certainly hasn't put 43 guys on base by walk or hit by pitch.
Trade for him and you can punch your ticket to the World Series.
Yeah, do it. I mean, you're rich, so you can just go to the World Series. You're Yankees players and owners / fans, so just buy tickets. Like, how hard could that be? Come on, you can do this. Actually, on that note, I was watching the game and saw a familiar back of the head in the dugout and was really tickled to see that Prince Fielder was at the game with his wife the other day.
Yes, yes, I saw that.
Came to the dugout, gave some hugs. And the broadcast noted that it's the first game that Prince and Chanel have ever seen together.
Wow.
Interesting. Because he was a player.
Right, it makes sense.
He hasn't wanted to go since the injury and everything, and so they've never actually gone to a baseball game together, which makes sense, but was kind of wild at the same time. So that was fun. I miss Prince. He was a lot of fun.
Oh, I had the very fortunate encounter with him the day that they announced that they had traded for him when they brought him in for the press conference. I was actually coming in from a trip to Aruba and caught him at the airport and actually got my photo taken with him. So that was my
very cool
brush with greatness.
That's pretty cool.
His forearms were bigger around than my thighs, but yeah, it was
He's
insane.
A thick dude,
but a short one. I was really surprised at how short he was. He was looked to be about 5'7", I think 5'7", 5'8", maybe.
Wow.
Yeah,
but him being hurt was, I mean, it was bad just for player and play reasons. You know, it made the team worse and everything. But Fielder was one of my super guilty pleasure favorites.
Oh, absolutely!
I loved watching that guy. Yeah.
I was so fired up when we made that trade. Thought it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, well,
I'm like, boy, we really pulled one over on the Tigers.
And like, I mean, I was a big Kinsler fan, and he was a very good player, and people at the time were saying it wasn't a great trade, that, you know, there were big warning flags with Prince, but I was also like, we haven't had a dude who hits like Prince Fielder can hit since Josh. And we haven't had a guy who you're like, oh, he's going to hit a dinger here. This is a 50 home run bat. I was really excited about it. I knew there were reasons to be cautious, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes, like, the point of being a fan is just to have fun. Like, you don't have to put your analyst hat on all the time. And when that trade happened, I was like, yeah, Prince Fielder is awesome. Like, that dude's just cool. I want to watch Prince Fielder.
Good times.
Alack and alas. So we don't have Prince. We do have maybe little baby Prince, little Willie Calhoun out there on the farm. He's got kind of some Prince like tendencies. He's short. He's round. He's a power hitting lefty.
Maybe he's a Duke.
yeah, he's an Earl.
There you go, an Earl. I like that.
A baronet. He's a member of the peerage for sure. He has land. He has a title. Looking forward to seeing Willie soon. He's been on a pretty good hot streak the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
His nickname, apparently, June Calhoun, is working out for him pretty well in this month. So hopefully we see him up with the big league team and see him mashing big league dingers sooner rather than later.
August 1st. Circle it on your calendar.
I'm hoping it's sooner, but I think that's pretty much a good hard deadline. We're gonna need more bodies on this team, because we're in theory looking to trade some guys.
We've got some guys worth trading, it would appear.
I think we do. I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times before. I mean, we've talked about how Beltre seems, assuming a team opens up and there's at least some interest, I think he's going to want to play on a team that's got making a playoff run.
Of course.
I mean, you don't know how much time he's got left. He's been injured twice this season, and you know he's going to play until he literally can't, but he's got to be thinking he only has so many runs left. And you know, there's guys like Nomar or Gallo who are interesting fringe trade pieces. You know, like, that's a big investment for Texas to make, and selling one of those guys off, but could happen. Shin-Soo Chu has been phenomenal for the last little bit. I think Hayden and I are going to talk about him when Hayden gets on, but really hoping that Chu is wearing different laundry comes in. But I think what you were getting at is actually more on the pitching side.
That is correct.
Yeah, we talked about Cole Hamels, but you were talking about a couple of guys in the precast who you're really interested in. You want to run through some of those names?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first one that jumps off the page is Jake Diekman. He's just pitching phenomenally this year. In case you missed it last night, he struck out the side in his one inning appearance on 13 pitches. It just didn't even look fair.
And it's filthy. That slider was clicking. He was pitching up in the zone with velocity. He made people look silly.
Yeah, they were talking about him on the ticket today, that they don't think that he's going to even make it to July 31st. They think someone's going to be trading for him pretty shortly, because there are some teams in need of some relief. The Indians are the first one that come to mind for me. That they've got a good team, but their bullpen is just awful, and they could become a good potential trade partner. So you've got Diekman, and then you've also got Jose Leclerc, who... You know, it's crazy to think about trading a guy that young, because we've still got plenty of options on him. But I think that means it could bring back the most value in a trade. It's just, he's young, he's controllable, and he's pitching lights out.
He's been phenomenal this season. ERA plus is at 2.39. I mean, he's got a sub-2 ERA with 31 strikeouts to 14 walks in 23 and two-thirds innings. Like, and he comes out there with that energy, that sort of swagger that you love to see in a shutdown reliever. He's incredibly good with runners on base. He just has a really good presence out there, that he seems to think he is one of those Dellin Betances, Andrew Millers, these guys who are coming in who aren't the closer with finger quotes, but are the guys who just shut things down. And that's exactly what he's been. And I think it'd be fun if Texas held on to that. It's nice to have those pieces. But if another team says, we need that guy and we're offering something of value, you got to look at that.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's not tradable.
It
just depends on what the return would be. So you got those two guys, and then you brought up the third guy leading the team in ERA plus, and that would be Tony Barnett. And
which is surprising, thinking of it at 17, but he's been quietly very effective for Texas.
Yeah, he did take a step back in 17. He was very hittable. He was very average, but he's got a tidy 0.97 WHIP this year, and that just speaks volumes just at how well he's pitching. He's just not letting guys get on base, and then some teams are going to need that. And so, you know, if you can parlay those three guys and Hamels and maybe a Beltre, and you can end up with maybe a starter, maybe a couple of good bats, you know. I mean, you can start this not rebuilding, could get it moving along quite nicely.
Yeah, because talk about packaging is really interesting, because that's really the way people viewed the Hamels-Steepman trade the first time. So there's a lot of consideration going on of who the other player was. You know, the first reports were that they were looking to move some combination of Alfaro and Jake Thompson and Nick Williams, and then there were other pieces, and we're like, how many names are there? It came down to I think it was five names plus the Matt Harrison thing, and the quality of the extra names wasn't known. I can't remember actually right now who the fifth name was. It was either, I think it was Thompson or Williams. I think we knew that Eichhoff and Asher were going, and we were like, okay, there's a bunch of arms going, and then, you know, who's the other big name? And we were surprised to see how big the other name was. And there was a lot of discussion amongst fans and other folks who are kind of semi in the know that the bigger name is why we were able to land a guy like Diekman, that the trade would have been smaller and you wouldn't have seen as many big name guys go. The package was fine for Cole Hamels, but that the inclusion of another bigger name got a potentially elite arm. And if you have to package a Barnett or a, you know, I think Diekman just goes, but if you have to add a Barnett or a Jose Leclerc to land a guy who's an interesting prospect, if you have that opportunity, I think you take it.
Of course.
If it's staring you in the face, it's staring you in the face. Diekman, when we acquired him, had pitched for the Phillies for, looks like 3 years.
Oh, wow.
He was in his fourth season. And he'd appeared pretty heavily, so I think that was, you know, 3 years of control left, because we got him in 15, and so he's 16, 17, 18. Yeah, so he's in the middle of that deal. It's a little bit more experience than, say, a Jose Leclerc has. But I think that's similar to Keone Kella in terms of control and experience in the majors. That's kind of when you move these guys who've had their successes, and a team says, oh, man, I look at a Keone Kella, and I see my next closer. Or, you know, yeah. Texas clearly looked at Jake Diekman in 2015 and said, that's the guy we want. He's been up and down, but we want that dude. We think we can make him a weapon, and he's been pretty dang good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got options, that's for sure. It's gonna be like Christmas morning when the 31st rolls around. Just can't wait to see what's under the tree.
Yeah, playing with all kinds of new toys. I'm excited. I mean, it always sort of sucks to say goodbye to players that you like. I mean,
of course, I
like watching Jake Diekman. His story is great. He's interesting on social media. He and his wife are very active, especially with his Gutted Out Foundation. And so, I like having him as a Ranger, being part of, you know, my team is fun. I've liked Barnett as well. I thought he was interesting coming over from Japan, and he's got a cute family, and their story is fun. And his experiences in Japan are interesting to me, but baseball is also a bit of a business, and by a bit, I mean mostly a business, it seems.
So, oh, it's going to break my heart to see Adrian go. It's going to crush me. He became my favorite player, and I mean, I never thought that I would say that. You know, when I've got Nolan Ryan and Juan Gonzalez and Pudge Rodriguez in my past, being the older guy, I think Beltre has outperformed all those guys. It's just, he's on another level.
I never expected to replace Pudge. Like, he just be the guy for me forever. Like, 100%. Pudge Rodriguez is my favorite Ranger. Like, I like other guys. You know, I think Elvis Andrews is fun. You know, like, Rick Helling was funny.
But no, I mean, Beltre just very quietly this week passed Ichiro to have the most hits by a foreign-born player in all of Major League Baseball, and that's just. there's a, that's cool. A long list of really good players that are now all behind him.
Oh, and he is hitting. Like, yeah. This last, I don't know, week, 10 days.
Yeah.
He looks like he's locked in at the plate. This is the Adrian we really like.
They were talking about him on the ticket again today as well, and talking about the names that are in front of him, and he only needs like 60 hits to pass. I mean, just all these just unbelievable players. It's he's just going to be knocking them off left and right here over the next few weeks. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think he's like 20 out from the next sort of little grouping of guys who have just over 3,100 hits, and you know, I mean, he's just climbing this board.
Oh, yeah.
3,092, which... It's kind of crazy to think that I remember just, you know, this time last year sitting in that little flat in Brussels, like, when's 3,000 going to happen? And now we're already like, when's 3,100 going to happen? When's 3,200 going to happen? You know, we're already counting up.
Oh, yeah.
I hate the idea of him playing for another team, but I also really want him to go to a team that I don't hate so that I can pull wholeheartedly for that team to go all the way and get Adrian the ring he deserves.
I would totally do that, and that's not normally part of my persona. I usually just write them off, and because I've said in the past I can't watch a game where my local team isn't involved. But with Beltre, I actually think I could do that. I could actually root for another team, as long as it's not the Yankees.
So that's the thing. You're stealing my thunder. Like, I think, you know, 8-9 year old me, I moved to New Jersey in the late 1990s, and I immediately grew to truly hate the Yankees. I already despised them because they beat us in the 96 playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And 99.
And so I had just moved there, and I was proudly a Texas Rangers fan, and then the stupid Yankees go and beat my team, and it was awful. And if Adrian Beltre is in pinstripes in October, I'm gonna have to, I'm gonna suck it up. I'm gonna root for the Yankees.
It's, oh my god,
it's gonna be bad. Like, I'm gonna have to make some explanations to me 20 years ago, but my parents are gonna ask a lot of questions. You know, there's gonna be a lot of text messages flying, like, is Max okay? Like, is he doing all right? And I'm gonna be fine. It's for Adrian.
Once, yeah, I can't do that. I can't.
If he signs with them again next year, nah, I'm out. But if that's what we have to do. Do you think Adrian's going to find himself in Dodger blue, though, given the events of this week? I mean, he and Cole Hamels were in there breaking some folks up.
It could be. You never know.
It's going to be funny if Cole was like, what's up, Matt? I remember you. I had to keep you from getting punched by my catcher. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember
that was pretty crazy.
Back in June? That was wild.
So what was your take on that? You know, I mean, obviously Chirinos, he wasn't purposely blocking the plate. He had to go back into his left to get that get to that ball. So it just kind of put him squarely
to the left.
Yeah. Is that a Seinfeld reference?
I'm sorry, Dallas area people. That's too much. I'm really sorry. I'm not that sorry. I'm not sorry enough. Anyway.
No.
I mean, he definitely got drawn into the line, but I thought that Kemp kind of bowed up too much.
And I did too.
He had a statement today that he's like, oh, I was thinking about my ankle. You know, I got hurt real bad a couple years ago and I didn't want to have to slide. It's like, yeah, but this is a dude who has a history of serious brain injury and you didn't have any problems hitting him. There's two players here. It takes two to dance the injury tango, Matt. And you could have just given up. I mean, like, Lord knew you weren't going to score.
Yeah.
That's kicking the ball out of his glove or something. I thought that was a little lame. And he said something, because Chirinos' immediate reaction was like, come on. And then his face changes. Something that Kemp said or did as he was getting up changed it. And if you can piss off Robinson Chirinos, you're doing something wrong. Like, the dude, everyone who's interacting with him on the beats and everything says he's a saint.
Yeah.
He does tons of charitable stuff. He's apparently got all kinds of foundations going. He and his family are really, really involved in this stuff. His interviews are really nice. He seems like just kind of a sweet dude. And he was mad. He was legitimately angry. I was kind of hoping... I'm glad that we didn't see some sort of stupid fight. And I'm really glad that we didn't see any retaliations.
Yeah.
Nobody came out there and started headhunting or anything. And that's good. I think throwing baseballs at dudes is stupid. We can move past that. That's some caveman crap.
Unless it's Bautista you're throwing at. Sorry.
dudes. Bautista doesn't count.
He's not, exactly.
He's not a person. He's not a
player. Exactly.
It's different. I don't have to throw any. I'll just throw Rugnet at him. Just pick him up and throw the entirety of Rugnet at him.
Fight. It wouldn't be that hard.
No. I'm pretty sure Joey could do it.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and Joey. Man, Joey came winging in there. He was steamed. Cody Bellinger almost got rocked.
Yeah, I'm glad that that wasn't a real fight. That was just a baseball shoving match because we didn't need to see any guys get suspended for any games.
No.
Not that it really matters in the grand scheme of things.
No, like, you know, whatever. We're tanking. You know, like the one that concerned me the most was, well, there were two, they're tied. Cole Hamels was restraining Matt Kemp, and it's like, don't, you watch those fingers, boy. Like, you got to get traded. Like, be careful.
Right.
Don't you go get stepped on or something. That scared me. And the one that truly did put a shiver down my spine is that Yasmani Grandal tried to get in Chirinos' face a little bit. I don't know if he was trying to, like, catcher to catcher him or just say something or if he was trash talking, but whatever it was, Keone Kella just teleported into the middle of that altercation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The face of a man who was about to commit a murder. Like,
yeah.
I said it on Twitter in response to some guy. He was trying to stand for the Yankees here, and I was like, I will get in the ring with Dylan Betances, Giancarlo Stanton, and Aaron Judge, all three at once, before I step in against Keone Kella. Like, nah, I'm good. I'm out.
Yeah. Kiel's probably carrying a shiv at all times.
That guy scares me, man.
He does.
He doesn't even need it. His hands were just ready. He hand-checked Grandal. He just, like, disarmed him off of Chirinos and moved him backwards. It was like, oh, no. Jurickson, Tony Beasley, and Jeff Bannister all very quickly got in there. Like, when Tony Beasley, a man who told cancer to shove off, and Jeff Bannister, a man who also told cancer to shove off, and didn't... His injury was spinal, right? That ended his playing career? Was he briefly... Wasn't maybe. That right? Anyway.
I thought, like, it had something to do with his leg.
Maybe it was his leg. But Bannister has a reputation for being kind of salty. And yeah. Jeff Bannister looked a little afraid. He's like, oh no, Keone. Stop. I've seen this before. We can't trade your rights if you're in prison. So that was... Is I don't want to screw with Texas. It's on the very low list for me of teams that I would want to dust up with. Like, Ronald Guzman and Joey Gallo. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Jose Leclerc seems like he'd probably be a very angry man. Like, I'm good.
But it's balanced out. I mean, you've got Shinsu Chu.
Yeah. Well, and the one that actually, like, I was low-key super proud of is one of my favorite players in the game, Yasiel Puig, who is a big dude. And
yeah.
I feel like if somebody tried to fight Puig's friends, he's going to throw people through windows. Like, it's like a 6'4", 260-pound guy. He's huge.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of, like, hanging around the outside, like, talking to people, like, Puig, your friend. And it's like, there you go. Do some peacemaking. You don't need to... bow up on anyone. You're enormous. Just hang out. Your presence.
He could end someone's career. We don't need that.
Yeah, come on. We were all cool here. So I was glad to see that nothing seems to have really come out of it. I haven't heard anything about Chirinos being hurt.
No.
I mean, for what it's worth, it seems Matt Kemp avoided injury. Whoop-de-doo. He's having a great season, and I think we need him to stay good so that Los Angeles wants to trade for guys like, I don't know, Cole Hamels. They've already hugged it out. Might as well send him over there.
There you go.
Blue and blue. I mean, Cole looks good in blue now. Might as well look good in blue over there. Hollywood Hamels. Wouldn't have to shave. You know, the Yankees are going to make him keep shaving, and I like that beard. He needs to grow that back out. You think they would make Adrian shave his little goatee off? He'd have to, right? With their facial hair rules?
I don't know. I
think they'd make an exception.
I don't think Beltre would go for that. I think he would say, I'm gonna veto this trade.
I need
if you're going to make me do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm keeping the stash.
Like, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Adrian makes his own rules. Yeah, no.
Take me to Kangaroo Court. I can pay for it. I don't care. I'll make it work. I'm Adrian Beltre. Okay, well, I'm satisfied. I thought that was a good little chat. You want to sign off, say your sayonaras, and then we'll end the recording.
Peace out, bitches.
That's Mike, everybody. And back after this musical interlude with maybe Hayden, or not. Maybe it's just going to be me talking into the ether by myself. Hey, welcome again back. It's been like several seconds for you, but several hours for us. Welcome to Late Night Rangers Rundown. We're bringing you the dulcet tones of early morning conversation. I am again Max, and now I am joined by Hayden.
Hello.
So, we talked about baseball earlier. We talked about the Rangers. We talked about some of our favorite bullpen guys, our upcoming trades. We talked about a couple of different things. But I think we have left the prospective for this conversation. So what does Texas look like going forward the rest of June into July? We talked about some trades, but that's fun. That's more minor leagues. You know, what is this team going to look like? We are sending Matt Moore to the bullpen. We are bringing up Johander to make the start tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this, or yesterday.
Or last week.
Whenever. Like several weeks ago, Johander Mendez, the baseball's newest Clayton Kershaw, made his debut as a starter. Yeah, fun fact, Mendez has never started a big league.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was looking through this with Mike earlier in precast, and this will be his 11th game. All 10 of his previous appearances were as a reliever. I could have sworn he started a game last year. I would have promised you that. He did not.
Yeah, I'm surprised. So good for him. That makes tomorrow or today or last week a much better and bigger moment for him. So good for him.
It's really great. I love seeing guys make their debuts and getting those starts. It's always fun.
Yeah. So it appears. So John, thank you. Always appreciate you listening and sending us so many emails about what to talk about on the podcast. JD, thank you for following my advice and really the advice of all three of us, and probably of everybody in the world. Thank you for doing that. Matt Moore to the bullpen.
I mean, that's like half of... We said get rid of Matt Moore. They only kind of got rid of Matt Moore.
I do understand the fact that you have to pay him through the end of this year, regardless of anything. So? He knows how to throw baseballs, and not everybody does.
I know how to throw a baseball.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't teach 90 miles an hour to you. Sorry.
No, that's very true.
Right.
I'm not confident I could hit 75. Like if I could throw 70, I'd be very proud of myself. I'm not gonna lie. I have a terrible arm. I am not a thrower. You were a second baseman, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The shortest throw on the field.
I was a center fielder because I was fast and can't throw. So
okay, there you go.
I can sidearm. I have a. It's the only way I can actually throw. If I throw overhand too many times, my shoulder like falls apart. I'm a sidearmer, 100%.
I'm the opposite.
They're terrible infield arm actions. It's really rough. I have no carry at all.
And that's why you're doing a podcast instead of getting ready for the Colorado Rockies.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not in the College World Series because I am both old and also very bad at throwing baseballs. I know how to throw it.
Yeah, there's just some skills that are a little bit elusive.
I'm also very much not left-handed.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Very not left-handed. Sorry, that Dad. My dad's a lefty. It did not work. I'm sorry. Nope.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try that whenever that day comes for me. Why don't you try that with your left hand, you know?
Yeah, here, put this glove on.
Yeah, here, put this glove on. Well, I don't know. I mean, because here's my thought about it, is that when a child, like a four-year-old or whoever, is learning how to throw a baseball for the first time, it's going to look really disjointed and uncoordinated from the jump, right? So you can't really tell if it's like, oh, it's because they've never thrown a ball in their entire life, and this is a very awkward position to find yourself in, or maybe they just are left-handed and you're making them be right-handed or vice versa. just go with it. Just ignore it all. Just say they are left-handed. This lack of coordination is just because they're young, and they'll grow into it, and they'll be left-handed, mm-hmm. and I'll be set for life. It's fine. They don't even have to be good. They can just hang out in a bullpen. They'll continue to get opportunities, and they'll make $9 million because they're left-handed. But
left-handed pitcher or learn to catch, you're going to have a job.
Yeah, you don't even have to be that good at the other stuff.
No. Dude, bullpen catching, if I had the talent to be back there and just take baseballs all day, being a bullpen catcher has to be a pretty cool gig.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you travel with a team, you work with all these big league players, you're their workout buddy, you're the sort of behind-the-scenes friend. That's got to be pretty cool. We had to find a bullpen catcher and bring them on the show, because that would be a rad interview.
That is the best idea we've had so far.
That is a great idea. Think about those stories. My marriage.
Congratulations. Yeah. Because think about how many people they know, right? I mean, I'm assuming that they are going to spring training. They are going to the playoffs. They're riding the team jet. They probably make, pretty good money. Yeah. They're trusted by certain teammates, I'm sure, more than others. But, I mean, you might have a guy where it's like, yeah, whenever C.J. Wilson was here, he was my best friend. We were roommates or something like that. That'd be crazy, But I'm sure stuff like that happens. You don't have to play every day, which, I mean, it would be great to be a Major League Baseball player. But if you're not going to do that, the longevity of a bullpen catcher, I'm sure, is outstanding. You're not going to blow out your knees.
Get fans yelling at you for not coming through in the clutch. You don't have to be Carlos Perez. It seems like it'd be pretty fun. I mean, you're not getting paid millions. You're not even getting paid, major league minimum. You're not making $500K, but you're making money.
That I bet you make like at least 100K. Yeah.
It seems like it'd just be a really cool job. A lot of the little sort of the front office, but not the prominent guys. A lot of the like the scouts, we've had a couple of great articles. Evan Grant and Levi Weaver have both put together some really, really cool write-ups. I think Jamie Newberg also had one with The Athletic. We've had a couple of insights into what scouting looks like. Just the incredible grind these guys through, but really also the human element of going to all these high school games, going to these college games, JUCO games, getting to know the families, getting to know the players, getting to know their girlfriends, their uncles, their nieces, like just all this stuff. And that's one of those little elements that I think is really interesting to me as I'm getting older and I'm starting to appreciate more and more of the whole spectrum that is baseball. When I was 10 years old, the only guys I cared about were Pudge. And then I got mad at A-Rod a couple years later. And now I'm like, dude, bullpen catchers, they're really cool. And that's an important part of baseball. Like, you need to have cross-checkers. You need to have bullpen catchers. You need to have the clubhouse manager who stitches the uniforms and the guy who sets out the post-game food and the dude who drives the bus for the AA team. Like, those are all cool, really interesting parts of the baseball experience, and I think it's something that we don't sort of hear enough from and learn enough from. But I'm like really 100% here for more of these scout insight articles or baseball adjacent stuff where you're talking to like translators. There was a great article a couple of years ago I read about guys who've worked with folks like Ichiro and Hideki Matsui and just dudes you don't think about as being part of a baseball team, but who are incredibly important to like a baseball organization, a baseball team, a baseball group of players. That stuff is really fascinating to me.
So we're definitely going to try to, I don't know, I'll just try to tweet at or get in the DMs of John Blake or something and be like, hey, what's the bullpen catcher up to? Does he want to be on our podcast? We have 22 episodes.
Come on our podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
Holler at us.
That would be very cool.
Even if I just want to talk to one of those people. Like, what is this like? This seems really super cool. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, and it would be really interesting. I'm sure that there's different organizational philosophies as far as like how much insight and like coaching and how valuable their opinion is. You're changeup is not fooling anybody, or your slider isn't sharp, or you have no idea where your fastball is going, does that guy tell the bullpen coach and the manager, like, he's not ready, or is that something that that's out of line for him? You know, I bet you that varies from organization to organization, which is just part of, I think we talked about it before, and like looking at draft philosophies and player development and PR and everything. It's so interesting to take a step back and just look at, it's not Major League Baseball as a whole that we watch and enjoy and love. It's 30 individual franchises, like businesses that have offices and like opinions, and they make decisions and they make wrong decisions, and they make all this. There's so much nuance and like individuality to them. That's, you know, as I'm getting older, as we get older, that kind of feeds into the love of the game even more. Mm-hmm. That there's no like cookie cutterness to it, as like a way to treat your prospects, and how to, you know, when Nolan was here, it was all about having minor league pitchers and our starters, you know, really build up a lot of endurance, and that was an organizational philosophy, and that can shift and that can change, and more data, and we're living in an age where there's more data than ever before, and it's all. It's organic, it's alive, it's changing, it's beautiful, it's messy, it's wrong, but you know, it's baseball, and that's why we watch it every day for 6 months, and we spend the other 6 months waiting for it to come back.
You know, when you grow out of being a little leaguer or a Babe Ruth player, a high school player, a college ball player, a beer league softball player, maybe not that last one, but the rest of them, as you keep getting older, you know, for me, I think I didn't really realize that I was never going to play baseball in any kind of meaningful way until years after that was obvious. Like, once I get to the point that, you know, I'm in my late 20s and I'm older than most of the guys who are playing day to day for the Texas Rangers. Like, I'm younger than Adrian Beltre, but yeah, we're in kind of a peer group almost. You know, he's not that much older than me. I have worked with people. I have supervised people who were within 10 years of my age. And like, you know, you're within the same kind of spectrum there. I think for me at least, as I've gotten older, I've eventually realized, man, okay, so I'm not going to make it as a player. you know, I'm not going to hit that walk-off grand slam that I hit in my backyard 100 times as a kid. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, maybe I'm the next great scout. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm the next great agent or front office guy or wheeler. And, you know, like, I know that's all silly. I'm almost certainly never going to have a career in baseball. But it's something I love. And as I've gotten older, I've started to appreciate more of these little elements to it that are not just the player parts that are super important. Like, I've never coached. I don't have any children. I don't have kids who are going through minor leagues, through little league or school ball. But I'd like to someday. I like to coach. I like to get into that kind of stuff. And you start to appreciate, well, hey, coaching matters. Like, coaching is super crazy. Like, this is different. And bringing equipment, driving the truck. Like, you know, I can put a bunch of kids into my car and we can go to a game. Like, that's kind of fun. These are things that are really important to putting together baseball teams. And every once in a while, I think it's fun to step back and think of, like, baseball as being a hell of a lot more than just, you know, a dozen dudes out there throwing baseballs and hitting stuff. You know, they've got parents and coaches and significant others and equipment managers and the guy who sells them their shoes. Like, there's tons of stuff that goes into this game, and that's true for everything. So sometimes it's nice to remember that it's true for even our escapism, even our fantasy stuff, where I can just get into baseball and say, no, it's kind of like everything else. There's lots of parts, and they all matter. And I'd love to talk to some more of these people who are kind of sort of involved in the on-field product. I think it's really cool. It's something I really have loved about Levi and Evan Grant and Jimmy Newberg to an extent as well, that they're they're looking for some of these sort of secondary conversations, getting the kind of the human element and talking to players and talking to families. I think it's really fun. I love this for like the draft. You get Cole Wynn, and you get to hear from his parents. There's so many cool stories that come out of all this, and I'm glad to kind of be here for it and be living in the 21st century when we have access to these things through Twitter and through the internet. It's cool. I really like it.
For sure. Yeah, I like what you said about it being humans, and like these are humans that they do have parents that come to watch them in the stands, and just to think about, you know, suspend reality for a little bit about how amazing it would feel to be like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, to have a whirlwind experience, to be like, okay, well, I'm going to be in AAA, and, you know, it's really cool to be a step closer to my dreams, and, you know, I wasn't ever like a super high prospect, but they're giving me a shot here.
He's the second guy in his own team, yeah.
Yeah, and then, boom, like, he's called up, his parents, like, just drive to the airport, you know, they're scrambling, and they get to watch him play in the major leagues, like, I try to connect with that as much as I can, because I mean there is certainly an element of like daydreaming and like living vicariously through my television. But just to imagine how cool it is, and to like have that human connection of like, man, you know what, like that guy right there, like he's not an unapproachable like ball player, superhuman, like crazy. And like, I don't know, he's not untouchable. He's just like me. He, you know, he has parents that drove him to practice and stuff, and that let him keep playing and bought him a glove, and that really care about him and love him. And
at some point, this kid was a freshman in high school, and I was a senior. Right. Dang it, like
and like this, you know, this is not like stone cold, you know, major leaguer, firmly established, never a doubt that he was going to make it. You know, untouchable. This is a guy that is, you know, he's probably got more butterflies in his stomach than I'll ever have at any moment in my life. And this is the culmination of his entire life.
To be under that kind of pressure. I hope I get the chance someday to go out there in front of a million people and have to put my stuff on display. Like, this is it. This is everything you've worked for. Most of us never will get that chance. And I think we overlook that a ton. Like, we don't think about, like you're saying, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, or a guy even maybe less heralded on this podcast, Hanser Alberto, for example, or Brandon Mann, or Nick Gardewine. These are dudes who've just worked their butts off for 20 years, and they're getting the chance to go out there and just, even if they're terrible, like whatever, man. Who cares? You got to go out there and you got to get your chance to prove yourself in front of hundreds of thousands of people who love everything that you do and everything you stand for, and who will raise their kids to look like you and play like you. It's special. It's something that I really love as a sports fan. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. It's man, baseball. There is so much about it, and there that's why there's so many movies and so many books and so many people play it and daydream about it or talk about it in the past or look forward to it in the future. There's so much about it that can draw you in, and once you see that it goes beyond the, you know, the 9 guys on the field and the 25 guys on the roster, and that it's just all of it is beautiful and all of it is like just drawing you in with its goodness, and like it's there everywhere that you look for it, man. I mean, I think that's why we even started this podcast, is because it's just like we want to
talk about the Rangers, man.
We want to talk about the Rangers, and like we want to at some level like be a part of it.
Yeah, I love even being like very mildly attached to organized professional baseball. Like,
right?
It's just heck cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah, fun. Dude. Yeah, man, I applied for a job like a year and a half ago or more, and it was through Fangraphs, which is pretty cool. If you are listening to this, and they do have job postings for MLB teams on Fangraphs, pretty cool. I don't find them anywhere else. But anyways, it was for a TrackMan operator at Round Rock, and like I don't know how to do that, but that'd be really cool. And like I might not make any money, and I might only work, you know, four nights in a row and then have 10 nights off and whatever. But man, like, what if I got to be a part of a baseball team? Shoot, and like, so cool. There's a
that's the all Waco tickets. Like, whatever, man. Yeah. Just give me the stadium. It seems fun.
And there's even in Waco here where I live. If you're listening to this in Waco, please let me know because I'm super desperate for like real in-person baseball fans. I've been living here like outside of college for the last 3 years, and I still haven't found anybody that's like, I don't know, I can go over to their house and watch baseball. Yeah. Even if you're not even a Rangers fan, which that's really cool that you're listening to this podcast. But anyways, in Waco, right, there's a independent baseball team that is rumored to come. I say rumored very loosely. It's supposed to come, and they've already apparently got funding approved for it, all that kind of stuff, but they haven't broken ground on the stadium yet. All that being said, there's going to be an indie league team here in town, and like, I get really excited about that, and I'm like, man, I know that there's only like four people on a staff of an indie league team. Like, there's an owner slash janitor slash ticket counter slash manager, and then there's like, I don't know, the guy that turns the lights off and locks
I'll
the
do
gate.
That.
Like,
yeah.
And then maybe also he does the...
$10 a game. I'll just show up and turn things on and unlock stuff.
But all that's to say is, like, I see that, and my thought is, like, okay, well, I probably can't even play indie ball. I mean, that's I'm going to be realistic here. Probably can't even do that. But, you know, what if I could be some kind of stats person for an indie league team? What if I could do something? What if I could do some... media stuff for it, the videos, whatever, man, just to be a part of it and to experience it. It's not even on a professional level. It's just, it just draws me, and it's baseball is good, man. The way that this season is going, I frequently think back to what Mike said on like the first episode that he was on, and he said, you know, baseball is better than no baseball. And I've been like, oh really, you think so? Like, check this out. we're watching every night.
But what about when baseball sucks? And it's like, eh, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, we're here, and it's like, I'm glad.
Baseball's cool.
Unpopular opinion, baseball is cool.
Baseball may be cool, but Shin-Soo Chu, he is not cool at all.
No.
He is quite warm. Toasty. From what I gather,
I would put it as a scorching in fuego, explosive. He probably just talked to his wife pretty recently. They probably crossed paths.
Yeah, she
at
just
some
said
point.
Be good, and he's like, yeah. Right, good point. You dropped some math on Mike and I this afternoon in our our text chat. Could you just run through this again? I want to hear it out loud.
Yep. So. Just close your eyes. Imagine these numbers popping up on the back of a baseball card. All right. So this is since the same date that we actually have been using for the Ronald Guzman splits. So since 5/21, the Yankee series, which I think Levi said that Chu changed his approach or something. I don't remember exactly how or what he did. But anyways, 5/21. He has 101 plate appearances, right? So it's roughly a sixth of the season. He's got 25 walks. Okay, he's hit the ball out of the park 6 times, and that gives him a 329, 495, 632 slash, which I'll do the math for you is an 1127 OPS.
Like a 356. Yeah, I'll take that line.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah. So maybe he's getting kind of lucky. Nope, he's got a 476 wOBA. Maybe he's just riding these walks or something like that to those really high numbers and stuff. Nope, he's got a 303 isolated power, so when he's hitting the ball, he's destroying it. And all that comes together to a nice little bow of a stat of a 205 weighted runs created plus. So he is 105% better than league average right now. He is 105% better than average, twice as good, more than twice as good as your average major league player over the last 3+ weeks. So we can talk about the trade stuff. I don't really want to. Whatever. We've talked about it. We will continue to talk about it. Contract, whatever. Point blank, Shin-Soo Chu is good. He is actually good, and he's been hurt. He tries really hard. It's not his fault he signed his contract. He's actually good, and it's really cool because, man, I will never forget 2015 when we came and took it, all that stuff, and he literally carried the team on his back for about 3 months. And I mean, you just don't forget things like that. So it's cool that he's still good, and for many reasons, but not the least of which, I think he went had like 3 walks and a double last night. Like, sure, okay, Mike Trout.
Nah, he's it's been good. It's really fun to watch. It's something I really liked about Chu when we picked him up. You know, his contract was really big, but I liked the idea of Texas picking up a guy who just understands the zone and can take a walk, has that bat control, has that eye to just dominate the plate. And we are seeing sort of the best version of Shinsu Chu. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun. And I kind of want to keep it around. I think for a lot of reasons, Texas needs to move him. We need to open up that roster. We need to try and get some talent back. I hope he can go to a team and be really good for a competitor and make this work. He's just been ripping the ball. He's been ripping the ball the last couple of weeks. His ex-WOBA is like well over 400. I mean, he's... It's great. It's just super fun to watch.
Yeah, and say what you will. Sorry, just one more point on Chu. Say what you will about like his contract and all that kind of stuff and whatever, and you can criticize the front office for like trading for Prince Fielder and going for it and blah, 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 signing Mike Napoli last year, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, Mike and I are pretty clearly not going to criticize the front office for the Prince Fielder thing, given our conversation about half an hour ago.
Okay, great. I would love to hear. I'll listen back to see what you guys said. But, man... Credit to them, because how old is Chu? 36, I think. They chose the skills that age well. Chu is still hitting the ball out of the park, and he's still walking like a maniac. You know, money aside, whatever. I mean, we could have Albert Pujols, we could have Miguel Cabrera, we could have insert overpaid, bloated player here. Honestly, like, Chu is very good right now.
The only problem with Chu, like we said a couple of times in this podcast, is just that we need the DH slot for other reasons. Like, if this was a fringe competitive team or a competitive team, and we weren't trying to find a place to put Willie Calhoun and Adrian Beltre all the time, like, we'd be fine trotting Shinsu Chu out there. I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah. We'd be talking about him getting MVP votes.
Were the Indians bitching about having Edward Encarnacion, who has been a better hitter? Fair cop, but like, they didn't mind that Edwin is essentially a DH only, because they needed the bat and they had the space for it, and Texas just doesn't really need the bat and also doesn't have the space for it. It's fine. I hope we move him to somewhere that can use him and he gets a chance to keep playing, and I hope he plays at a high level. I like his approach. I like the way he plays the game. I like that style. I like his control of the zone. I like his eye. I like his heavy walks and his crazy opposite field power. I feel like that guy just whacks it out to left in ways that are so silly for a left-handed hitter who isn't, you know, 7 foot tall and 400 pounds. And he's not a really huge dude, and just has this crazy opposite field power. So I hope he keeps doing it. I hope we can move him around a little bit and get some value back for him.
Yep. Yep, we see you, Chu. We love you, Chu.
We appreciate you. We wish you could have played in Colorado these next 2 games. Would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get the Rockies for a short stint here.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of days. We've got Chad Bettis going up against Johander in Mendez's first professional start, or first big league start. He's started at least 1 or 2 games, I believe, professionally. one or three. And then the Saturday game, Kyle Freeland, Mike Minor. So, obligatory Rangers rundown. Maybe this is the game Mike Minor posts a good start.
Okay, 6 innings and less than 4 runs.
Come on, please.
Come on, dude.
And then Sunday,
it's in there. We know it's in there.
It's right there. It's so close. It's just Mike. Come on, shh, Mike, do it. Do the thing. Sunday we'll get John Gray, who I really liked. John Gray.
Is he still good?
No.
Okay.
He's pumpkining hard. But I like John Gray. I think he's got I mean, I think he's got it. We'll just sort of see if he can keep it and turn himself back into a good starter.
All right.
And the Rangers starter on Sunday is, it's a shrug. I'm shrugging. This is a shrug.
We don't know.
Yeah. We might call somebody up. We might just press Jesse Chavez into action. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody else get a chance, but Austin Bibbins-Dirks pitched Thursday. Okay. Don't know if he'll be. I don't think he'll be ready then for a Sunday start. Well, maybe it's Giovanni Gallardo time. Ugh.
Whatever. On that more. I mean, whatever, man.
It's fine. Johander, please. Please be good.
Please be good.
Shove.
I just really.
Go out there.
Like, his ERA is trash in AAA, and he didn't have a good season last year. He's trending down hard. He's falling like a rock. But just please, just be one of those things where, oh, yeah, I get to the major leagues where everything is supposed to be super difficult. No, it's fine. This is where it all clicks for me. I'm fine. I'm a major league starter. I'll be here for the next 10 years. Yeah, I'm good now.
Aaron Judge it.
Yeah, there you go. Aaron Judge it. Now I'm angry. Okay.
it's getting late.
Yeah, here's my one note.
It's time to go. Give us your nugget.
Yeah.
Give us your wisdom. My nugget,
and it is truly short. Ian Desmond is on the Rockies. Welcome back to Arlington, Ian. Thank you, or congrats on getting 5 years and $70 million to play first base.
And be real.
Stop. You were one of my favorite Rangers of all time, even though you were here for only one year. You're beautiful, and I wish you nothing but the best. And I saw that he hit a home run the other day, and I was like, yes, that's man, he can turn this around. But anyways,
He's got this.
He's so handsome. Okay, we're done.
Go Rangers.
Go Rangers.